When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to a special Tottenham episode of Above Average FPL, and it's me not joined by Adam today, but we've replaced one Tottenham fan with two others. You joined us pre-season, and we were pretty enthusiastic at the time. We're keen. So we'll see how we are and how we feel for the running in. So we've got Chris, aka Windy Coys, on Twitter, and we've got Nathan at Nathan A. Clark, both from the Extra Inch, two thirds of the Extra Inch on the pod tonight. No Bardi. How you doing?
Doing okay, yeah.
Not bad.
We're recording ahead of a North London derby, so there's always a bit of a. It's a bit of a funny week, isn't it? You sort of. There's a lot of anticipation leading up to it. The stage we're at in the season, it's kind of important that if we want to get Champions League, we get something. So there's pressure on it. But yeah, doing okay.
Doing okay. Since we last spoke, you got married. And expecting a baby since last
year. Yeah, and turned 40 as well. It's been a big year.
It's been a big year. And Nathan, I've seen more athletic, TIFO work everywhere.
Yeah.
I will sell the Extra Inch for you boys.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Is what I would say is like, so the Extra Inch podcast, I'd say just, you know, this season of all, I've been a patron of you guys for a couple of years. I genuinely will say, I don't think there can be better value for money in Patreon than you boys. Firstly, the Discord is just huge. You know, if I go onto the Discord right now, just look, there are 192 members online right now, as you speak. For a Tottenham fan, like, what could you want? Permanently, yeah. It's around that number, 200 people talking, chatting, Spurs. The FPL community there is huge, you know, it's not like they've just got an FPL. Most sports sort of pods have got an FPL channel, but it's like, it's not that lively. This is lively. It's competitive. There's some really, really good players. And then, you know, look, your, you know, Patreon's big enough that it enables you to have Nathan. It's like, you know, he's not just a fan that does the tactical stuff. You're a professional, Nathan, you know, and the stuff yeah. And the stuff you put out on Patreon is, you know, incredible. I love Windy's quick, like 10 minutes analysis, which will come out normally within a couple of hours of the game. And I will say, look, I don't think I've ever not nodded along to that. You know, I think it's incredible, the insight to do it. And I know as well, then by the time you get to the main pod, how many times, Nathan, will you have watched the game by the time you do the main pod?
Almost always, at least twice, often three, occasionally four times.
like, you cannot ask for better Spurs analysis than that. That you have the ability of what you put, you guys put in. That's why you're such a big Spurs pod. So we have lots of Spurs, unsurprisingly, because of our Spurs bias, we have lots of Spurs fans. Make sure, and if you're going to invest in a Patreon, sign up to your boys.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you. That's very much appreciated. And the point about the users being on the Discord is such an important one, I think. And it's something I often overlook. But yeah, like, if you're ever just at a loose end or feeling lonely, you want some company, like, it's great. You can just dip in and have a chat with people. And it's the topics are extremely wide ranging. There's lots of different threads to get involved in. So yeah, it's really good fun. Great community.
Yeah, just good people. It's good people. So now I'm going to use and abuse you.
Please do.
So Tottenham are relatively important. You know, we've got 4 game weeks left. We've got a double game week, quite a big double game week in terms of Arsenal and Chelsea. Then we've got Liverpool. Then we've got a double game week for Burnley and Man City. And then we've got Sheffield United to finish off the season. So, you know, the idea that you get 2 doubles feels something that's good to lean into. There's a lot of people on wildcard at the moment. And there's a lot of people that are on wildcard, like myself, where we need to get going, because there's not many people that free hit it in 34 that still have a wildcard, you know, using a wildcard in 35. And free hit 34 has been like the most incredible success of anything that could be. So we're on catch up. So you got to gamble. So we're looking for what can we do in the Spurs world. And look, Adam gets asked lots of questions in this space, but you guys definitely know more than us. Albeit, I would say, you know, from my point of view, I find it really difficult to understand what we do with 2 weeks off. You know, I found it hard last time we had it, and I sort of find it hard this time we have it. You know, you don't hear or see that much. What about you guys? How are you feeling about this little break that we've had?
Go on, Nathan.
Well, other than the fact that it seems like every time there's a break coming up for us, Spurs will manage to lose a game just in time for us to really sit with it quite well. That's the main thing, I think.
Yeah, and you're right that you don't get much insight about what's going on. You get lots of content, but it's not content about the training ground or what's going on tactically. So we're left kind of guessing and stewing on the previous result, which is very frustrating. And Spurs are in this kind of weird period at the moment where all the players are back now. So we were expecting that we'd have just gone, wow, Spurs are incredible again. They've got all their good boys back. But as it turns out, we're struggling a bit. Very inconsistent. Obviously conceding a lot of goals. And so you don't kind of know what to expect from 1 week to the next.
Yeah. I've done some social media scanning this afternoon, trying to see what I can find. So we've had some YouTube shorts on Monday and Tuesday, and Sunday and Monday. And then today they've done some Insta pictures in terms of who's playing, who's not. Who I've managed to not see is Poirot and Richarlison. I've not seen them at all.
Okay.
There's one video of shooting practice. Notable absentee is that is Maddison. So he's not in the shooting practice of that. Or Richarlison, definitely not. Weirdly, when they sort of go out onto the pitch, Richarlison and Davies are at the very front of the queue, but I didn't see then either of them pass that involved anything. So still, I was like, Davies, I haven't heard anything in that space, but didn't see him doing anything as such, and definitely didn't see Maddison doing anything. They've done an Insta picture today that shows Maddison in the gym, but not like kicking a ball. And I'm like, with 2 weeks off, if we know we're now into Tuesday and we haven't had Poirot or Richarlison, do you think Ange, let's just say they both started training tomorrow, is it too late?
I don't think it's too late. I think because it's Arsenal, he's going to want all the best players on the pitch if he can get them on there, regardless of how much training they've had. But that is interesting and unusual and slightly concerning. I'm mostly concerned about Ben Davies. I didn't think I'd be in this position, but because obviously Udogie's out, he's going to miss the rest of the season. So we were expecting Davies to come in and be his backup.
I've had thoughts on this one around the Davies thing, you know, but, and I wanted to just test whether this is me like playing Football Manager and just, you know, it says those players can play those positions. I can try and work this through or not. But for me, when I'm watching at the moment, Bissouma is a problem in some of the positional places that he goes. He kind of wants to quite often, you know, if you look in sort of pass maps and the like, he wants to push more towards the eight than he wants to do towards the sort of the base six. You know, the place I kind of want him is sort of splitting the centre back so that we can use Van de Ven wide, and Van de Ven and Romero can be more aggressive if he drops deeper in between them. But if he's not there, we're so exposed. You saw the breaks from Newcastle that gets us into a big, big problem. And I was thinking, well, I'd quite like to see Dragosin dropped in the middle of there, you know, and you effectively, with Destiny out, you play Van de Ven as the left side. Dragosin drops in between. Romero drops right, or the other way around. Romero drops into the middle. I know you've talked about, you know, could Romero be the sixth Flores, could be the person that steps in, do the sort of John Stones type role. And whether that's a free, that then means that we could play, say, Benton Curran, Saar, Poro help, so then you've got your front four. Do we think there's like that kind of fun, or do we just think it's Ben Davies?
I think it's Davies, to be honest. Like, so,
yeah.
I mean, Nathan will have lots of views on this, I'm sure. But for me, and I've seen loads of people say that Van de Ven can play the inverted left-back role, and I think people have been pretty consistent on it. For me, the idea of Van de Ven receiving back to goal from the centre-backs is just not a viable, workable option. And I say that, I characterise it in that way because that's all we've seen the left-back do under Ange so far. We've never seen an alternative. It's always been they move into the middle of the pitch to make a three with Bissouma, and they're receiving from the centre-backs and then playing first time to allow a ball beyond them or turning on the ball and creating something themselves. And I cannot see that Van de Ven is, and this sounds brutal, but technically able to do that. I think Van de Ven is a brilliant, brilliant player. I think he's been an incredible signing. His adaptation to the Premier League is way beyond what I could have expected, but that's not his game in my view. And so I'd be very surprised if that were to happen. But Nathan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think specifically on his suitability to play that role exactly, like his first touch is very, very good. His comfort turning on the ball is very, very strong. But I think where a lack of experience playing inverted left back would be hurtful to him is in his like awareness and in his positioning. So if he's on the ball, and we see this when he's playing centre back, if he's on the ball and someone tries to rob him of the ball, they have a hard time doing it. But if he is positioning himself inside the opposition's block, I feel like there's a decent chance that he gets his pocket picked, or he gets the ball intercepted before it arrives to him. He doesn't position himself in positions where he can receive and things like that would be my suspicion. But to be honest, that is a lesser concern. My bigger concern would be any situation in which Van de Ven isn't our deepest non-goalkeeper on any defensive scenario. Yeah,
fair.
So the Dragosin dream has died.
I mean, I could be wrong. I'd be surprised if we saw Dragosin again, unless it came as a result of an injury crisis. I think, like, he is a player we've signed for the future. As a stopgap in emergency situations, he's like, looks very raw, very, very raw at Premier League level, and needs the pre-season to kind of bed himself in.
And we've seen when he played, you know, even when he played that left centre back when Van de Ven was out, like every single pass played went right. Literally. like he couldn't. So the idea in the middle was like, the problem is he still can only pass one way. It's limited.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that moves me then to, let's say it's Davies and so forth. how does that impact, how does no destiny as opposed to Davies, how does that impact some of the others? So for example, we saw certainly at the start of the season, Maddison and Destiny would swap quite often. Maddison would come deep to get on the ball and he would move forward. Like, I'm assuming we don't see that so much with Davies. Does that mean that Maddison might stay higher? I mean, provided Maddison's playing. does it impact, you know, who they play on the wings? What are the sort of knock-on impacts of no Destiny going forward?
Yeah, I it wouldn't be completely beyond reason to see Ben Davies like push away from the play and go pretend that he could play number 10 for a moment to get Maddison on the ball. I wouldn't be shocked to see that. But at the same time, yeah, maybe he would offer us more with his distribution. And so there would be a reason to allow Davies to come towards the ball a little bit and take up slightly more traditional left-back positions. Just because, like, okay, look, Destiny's an incredibly gifted player, and as a result of that, and now somewhat aging Ben Davies is a significant step down in a lot of different ways. But what can he offer us is he's got some infield passing that Destiny is lacking. So yeah, maybe we would lean towards that a little bit more. You wanted to see sort of maybe a back three with Dragusin coming in. I wonder if we could lean slightly more that way in terms of Davies positioning and the other two shuttling over. Wouldn't be totally shocked to see a little bit of that. Yeah. Also wouldn't be shocked if you just went, this is the way we play and the players are interchangeable and we're going to go out and play our game now, regardless of whether it's Destiny, Ben Davies, Van de Ven, Dragusin, or Gio Lo Celso at left back.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were talking on the pod about, you know, what the difference is between Davies and Udogi, and whilst we have to acknowledge the defensive issues that brings mm-hmm. about, you know, Destiny Udogi, fantastic in 1v1 situations, probably unrivaled in our squad, actually, maybe. Yeah. Really good at chasing back because he's got incredible acceleration, but as Nathan was very quick to point out, he's also got fantastic deceleration, so tracks back amazingly. Davies cannot do either of those things anywhere near as well as Udogi. But what Davies has got on Udogi is passing. And yeah. Udogi's big weakness, brilliant ball carrier, finds himself in the most incredible pockets of space, but he struggles to know when to release the ball. And when he does release it, he's not very adventurous. Whereas Davies will play longer passes, he'll pass earlier, he'll see the pass sooner. And so I think that bodes well for Werner if Werner plays, because he's going to receive the ball hopefully earlier and in a position where he can do more damage rather than waiting on the touchline for Udogi to basically run up to within 5 yards of him and pass the ball 5 yards to him.
Well, there. If you were guessing then, based on, let's say, you know, the latest I think I saw around Poro was that still being assessed, but they were hopeful around Arsenal. That was the kind of latest that Richarlison heard nothing. You know, we just know we got this thing, but heard nothing but not seeing him. If they were all fit, who do you think it plays in this? Who plays our front four, really?
Well, just to go back to your earlier question about like a late fitness test, it's definitely been the theme of the season that and just kept his cards close to his chest in terms of return dates, and seemingly based on that limited knowledge, if a player hasn't trained a week, passes the fitness test on a Friday, and they're an important member of our starting 11, they've at least been in very much consideration for the Saturday. So yeah, wouldn't be shocked if we saw minutes for Poro or Richarlison on that basis alone. In terms of who actually plays, though, I would suspect we stick with our prior front three of Son up the top, Werner on the left, and Johnson on the right, rather than adapt how we've been doing things at all.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. It's not what I want. What I want is Son left, Richarlison, middle, Kulusevski, right. But I think Nathan's right that it'll be Werner and Son. I do think Kulusevski might start on the right rather than Johnson. I think for the, you know, you've got three really big games in a row, and I think Kulusevski's a big game play, scored goals in big games, but also it gives us that extra hold-up ability which we're lacking without Richarlison. And I think that will help a little. I mean, Porro is an interesting one. He has dipped, undoubtedly. He was brilliant, in my opinion, at the start of the season. Yeah. He has got tired or whatever. And I think he's become less important as the season's gone on, rightly or wrongly. But the idea of Emerson Royale playing right back against Arsenal is a terrifying prospect.
It's a terrifying prospect.
I'd like to address that. I came on this podcast in pre-season and bigged up Richarlison as an FBL pick. How's that working out?
Well, when he plays, there's still a part of me. Like, if I thought that he was playing nine, I'm tempted. I'm definitely Richarlison curious for these next few weeks if I feel that we were getting the minutes of it. If he was fit, I would be definitely thinking it, because I think we're all not quite comfortable with Son at nine, are we?
I'm above average.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm above average.
I think there's a lot of strengths to Son at nine that we're not feeling right in this moment, because we've had a couple of rough games. I think that, like, there are some ways in which the position and the role is alien to him, but at the same time, he's rapid and behind, and he's one of the best finishers the game has ever seen, and that adds up to a lot in individual moments in which goals are scored. Outside of that, okay, he can be frustrating, but I don't think, in my opinion, right off the idea of Son playing nine, you know, next season after, or whatever. I will say Richarlison is sitting on about 0.6 expected goals, non-penalty expected goals per 90, which on that per 90 basis puts him like sixth or seventh in the league.
Yeah, it's right, like 3.6, 3.7 shots or something per 90. You know, it's like they're good numbers. Like, last time I looked at it, they're pretty similar to Haaland numbers, literally. They're not far away. It's just, will we get him on the pitch? And it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. Wings then. Johnson, Timo, Kulusevski. Obviously, we've got a lot of games. Do you think we'll see a lot of when I think about rotation, some of the things as well is that my noticeable thing with Ange is we don't set up very differently on particularly different teams. You know, if you think about Pep, for example, people would say, like, he's copying Pep and do all this stuff and do this stuff, but we're copying one of the formations or one of the ways sometimes that Pep plays. But when he comes up against low blocks every week, but when he comes up the lowest of lowest blocks or the teams he wants to bully, then he loves a 1v1 specialist. Nathan, do you like 1v1 specialists?
Yeah, I might have mentioned it a couple of times.
Might have mentioned it. For anyone listens to the pod, Nathan really knows we need a 1v1 specialist of the Dokus of this world. And, you know, when you look at, say, Kulusevski or Brennan for that right, they're completely different profile of player, really, in terms of what their strengths and that are. Do you think he'll use them in rotation, or do you think we just keep pushing him out until we can push him out no longer.
I don't want to overplay the whole and not adjusting to the opposition thing, because we have seen, you know, Kulusevski ever running games, Brennan Johnson never running games, etc. Things back and forth. And also, like, specifically, and this is where it really materializes, is to, like, sub Johnson on for Kulusevski at halftime, because that isn't homework we've done beforehand. We've not gone over the opposition tapes and going, ah, oh, look, you see their way they do this. There's more of a situation to be spacing behind, therefore it's game for Johnson. It's let's go out there and play our game for 45 minutes. And then at halftime, go, ah, there's that space. That's one for Brennan Johnson. And so, yeah, those adaptations tend to come in the game rather than ahead of them. But like we said, like that can create a form of rotation in which one player comes on for the other half and then maybe continues on to start the next game, etc. Yeah, at the moment we have, through a combination of injuries and form and so on, got this front three right now where all three players are running away from the ball. And that certainly provides us with plenty of threat in behind. And you would think, given that, you know, we're going to be playing these big games, these transitional back and forth games, opposition who want to have the ball, opposition who press up high when they don't have the ball, there'll be space in behind. But as we've seen against, you know, Newcastle most recently, for example, we are having trouble servicing that front three. And when we rush it, or we're forced into rushing it, or whether we just stylistically choose to rush it, sometimes that ball's going forward really quick, it's not sticking to anyone's feet, and it's coming back at us really quick. So that's where you might say, oh, okay, in that, was it the Luton game? Yeah. Luton game, Kulusevski was subbed off because he couldn't attack that space in behind. But what he does offer us is like the ball will not just completely bounce off him like it's a brick wall all the time, right? Similar for, you know, Son and Richarlison. Richarlison doesn't offer the same pace in behind, is half the finisher that Son is on his worst season. But he can hold up a defender for a moment, you know? So again, I think that because we have those sort of more differential options to our current starting front three in the squad, we might see them get subbed on at half time and then get run a couple of games rather than this player for this game, this player for this game, et cetera, et cetera. So that makes it very hard to call in advance for fantasy football players, right?
That does. But we do say that, don't we? Because, you know, we've talked on the pod ad nauseum about the fact of, like, we've scored 17 goals now between 45 and 60 minutes. Yeah, that's absurd. You know, is next best in the league is 11 in that period of time, straight after half time. It's some of that definitely is that you can see that Ad says, this is what we're going to do. And then, ooh, we made this. And we definitely know stuff goes on because we heard like Kulusevski has gone off to, you know, when he's gone off to play for Sweden, he's gone like, let's do the end stuff at half time, you know, and the like. So it's, it's one of those where you could end up picking players, find out they start and in the attack and find that they don't come back out second half. And we've even seen that sometimes even when players have played okay first half, isn't it? It's almost like, well, that's working, but I could do it a bit more. So like Basuma to Højbjerg recently, we saw that where Basuma was getting a ton of shots, you know, in the first half. So if you were saying, let's just start with the wingers, Brennan, Timo, Kulusevski. If I said to you for the next sort of six games, who's getting the most minutes there? Who are we going?
Probably Werner, I would say.
It's interesting you say that, and I do agree with you, but you are also arguing to move Son onto the left, which is something that I don't fancy myself.
Yeah, I mean,
is that just like what you want versus
exactly that? Yeah,
yeah.
I really want Son to move wide left because I really want Richarlison to play, which I also think will help us with set pieces, by the way. But I think it's more likely that, especially as you haven't seen Richarlison in any of the training photos, I think it's more likely that Son continues to play through the middle and Werner plays on the left. We haven't seen Johnson play on the left much recently. He has played on the left this season, but he's predominantly played on the right. where obviously there's competition with Kulusevski. So I think for that reason, expect Werner to get the most minutes. Having said that, as an FPL manager, do you really want to be watching Timo Werner and relying on Timo Werner? I mean, have you seen his finishing for us so far? It's, why would you do that to yourself? Yeah, that's
good,
not
for assists.
Really good for assists, but that is not a fun way to enjoy FPL.
Us in FPL, we don't always enjoy it. We pick Darwin Nunez. I'm looking at, look, if Nico Jackson doesn't get booked tonight against Arsenal, we are probably in my wild card. You know, these guys that miss lots get good XG penalty. So Timo, God.
I love him, by the way. I really want to sign him. I just don't rate his finishing.
And then we come on to the middle parts, and we've got Maddison. You know, Maddison's had, you know, before injury, fantastic start to the season. To me, it doesn't feel right since he's back. But it's almost like every week I'm like, I'm so hopeful Maddo's back, but something's not quite there. How do you feel about Maddison at the moment?
I don't have any huge concerns over him as a player. I think that his talent is fantastic. I don't think his performances on an individual level have actually fallen off that badly. I think it's more of a team effect issue and our inability to, again, service and use him optimally. He had that injury and he's probably not quite as sharp all the way, but he's still a very strong player. I certainly don't see him losing too many minutes. Except, of course, that he's only been doing maybe gym training this week. That could just be a fatigue issue, to be honest. I just want to take it back, actually, to the wingers. I want to tip Brennan Johnson, I think, because, in terms of watching Spurs as a Spurs fan, Timo Werner brings me a lot more comfort and joy as a player because he's able to, better than Brennan, receive the ball to feet and carry the ball and try to take on his man and provides chances for others and combine with others. But as we know, Werner can't hit a barn door to save his life. Whereas Brennan Johnson, okay, yeah, he's going to be competing for minutes with Kulusevski and the ball bounces off him a lot. But I think he's on 0.4 expected goals per 90. He can play left and right. He can come off the bench effectively. I think that he will be good for goals, whether he is starting left, right, or bench for the next six games. So he would be my pick, I think. And he's a midfielder, yep. Whereas Werner's a forward. That's correct.
That's correct. But Brennan's definitely a punt. But like on this sort of wild card look at the moment, you've got Newcastle, you know, next game week they play Sheffield United. So Anthony Gordon is very much like, oh, yes. And then he gets a double in 37. That's good. Bruno Fernandes is suddenly getting penalties again and scoring ridiculous goals and has Burnley and then has a double as well. So you're like, there. Then you've got Foden, you've got De Bruyne. Cole Palmer is just like, you have to have Cole Palmer. And then Son's a midfielder. So then you're like, well, so Cole Palmer, Son, you've only got three spots. And already it's tough. And then it's like, can you push it for a Spurs one? If you thought about goal involvements, do you think Maddo could match or not? Or would you be more sided towards, say, Brennan over Maddo?
I wouldn't be thinking about Maddison. I really wouldn't. He hasn't returned since game week 28. That feels like a long time ago in FPL terms. And yes, you've got double game weeks coming up, but they're against good teams. And like you said, there's so much to choose from in midfield. Why would you pick Maddison when you can have guaranteed points from elsewhere?
Yeah. And I think the more we're playing like full pitch back to front football, which again is what we're going to face in games against Liverpool, City, Arsenal, the more he's going to be a midfielder and less of a number 10. He's going to be like physically distant from the box because of how fast we arrive into it sometimes. And like, you know, again, I think Maddison could well be in for a couple of assists, but is very unreliable.
And likes booking in these kind of games as well.
Oh, he's looking for a red, actually.
Yeah, he literally punched someone the other week.
Do you feel like he's a little petulant recently with the form? Yeah. Not quite on it. Does feel
He's clearly very frustrated at his own performances, and for good reason, I think.
Yeah. So Brennan, Timo, if you've got a forward slot. And that, as I said, if Nico Jackson gets booked tonight, then people are looking at, say, Werner or Hoyland, you know, those type of players. Like, it's a punt.
Yeah.
It's a punt.
I mean, my strategy with Spurs, I don't have any chips left, but my strategy, if I did have a chip left, or if I was looking to experiment, take a punt, catch up on a mini league or something, would be to wait this week out completely. Don't touch Spurs this week and see how it lands.
Even with a double.
Yeah, even with a double, because I just don't know what personnel he's going to go with, and I don't know what Spurs are going to turn up, because we were so bad in the last one. So I'd be waiting to see, like, is Richarlison going to come back in? If he does, then I'm looking at Richarlison as a, you know, over Son even.
Yeah.
If Ben Davis is fine, then maybe Ben Davis is a viable option for the run-in. And look, if you want a Spurs option for two double game weeks, go Vicario. That's because he's going to get 4 points. He's going to get 4 points, isn't he? Probably from the doubles.
Just of saves, basically, if nothing else. Yeah, I am. That's where I am. So for disclosure, currently Vicario, Porro, and Sun are the three people in there now. Porro, even if he did miss out on this one and I didn't end up playing him this week, I wouldn't be that upset. But I do think by the time we get to Burnley and Sheffield United in 37-38, I don't want to do a transfer on a defender. So I probably would just have Porro in just to sit for that, if nothing else. But then once you've done Vicario, Porro, Son, you're like, what if one of those midfielders steps in? You know, do you go now, or do you actually only have two this week? And then, like you say, the advantage might be to pick it later. Yeah. We never make it easy. We never make it easy. And it's even more difficult when we're Spurs fans to extend with this one, because it's like, I'm putting my eggs in a Spurs basket. We're chasing fourth, albeit Ant says we're not chasing fourth, but we are chasing fourth. So it's like everything is intrinsically linked to how this season finished, both as an FPL season and as a fan. You know, it's a tough game. I think we've covered most stuff. Like I say, defensive wise, if you were thinking about attacking returns, you know, in there, I guess let's just say we think that Davies is nailed, but Van de Ven's about the same price. Would you just go Van de Ven?
I'd go Davies.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. I think I'd go Davies for two reasons. Firstly, he obviously will be pushing forward a lot more than Van de Ven, so the chances of him getting a goal or assist are higher in open play. But also, he scored a header against Brighton, didn't he?
Now you've said it, there was that period when he did play where he seemed to get lots of headers.
He's pretty good in the air, Davies, for his size. Like, he punches above his weight, whereas Van de Ven is the opposite. So from a set piece perspective, I'd back Davies over Van de Ven. So that's where I'd be looking. But again, this is why I would be on the, like, let's wait and see train. Yeah. Because if he's not involved, if Davies is injured or not fancied, and, you know, maybe he goes crazy and plays Emerson Royale inverted left back.
Don't write that.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be getting Davies in now, but maybe next game week, assuming Davies starts the next two, then I would consider him for the run-in.
It'll definitely be game week 37, because the good thing about, you know, the defense, case of the defense, as bad as the defense is you definitely bench it in 36 versus Liverpool.
Yeah.
There's going to be a potential situation where wildcarders could end up, like, even benching Son against Liverpool, you know, is because of you've got eight other attackers in there, but I couldn't do that. No, I'd have to do it. I'd have to play him.
I am genuinely going without Son for the run-in. I just can't trust him at the moment. And to be honest, I think it was really telling that Ange hauled him off before an hour had gone in the last game. Like, we hadn't seen that. He'd played 90 or at least late 80 for a long run of games. And then suddenly, like, he comes off on 57 minutes. And, like, he hadn't played well, and he hasn't played well for quite a few. I'm not trusting Son.
Is there a world where you would captain Heung-min Son over Cole Palmer for the 35 double?
Absolutely not.
So Nathan absolutely doesn't play not. FPL. So that's what we did this in. So that's Cole Palmer against us and against Villa versus us, Arsenal and Chelsea.
Palmer's out of tonight's game.
Illness. Yeah, he's not right? in the squad. He's been sick.
Oh, illness. Yeah, okay.
You've got to go with Palmer. He's the man who's in form.
I don't know. I could do it. I don't know. I could do it against us. I just don't know. I could. Do it.
A lot of his return is penalties, though, right?
But they get a lot of them.
How reliable is that?
We are quite stupid. We do those. We don't get any for ourselves. Well, why don't we get any penalties?
We are collectively very bad at falling over in a convincing manner.
Really,
another reason why Richarlison should play.
Richarlison's probably the better, but I keep seeing this stuff posted in various Spurs communities. And it winds me up, and it's like a chart. So many variations. It's a chart of like touches in the box versus penalties given. It's like, okay, first of all, look at all of the clubs scattered across. There's not a great correlation there for a start. So it's going to vary wildly from season to season. And secondly, a much better mode of getting angry about penalties we haven't been given is to recall specific events. Mm. There was a Werner one against, was it Palace?
Yeah.
Probably should have had that. And then one time Brian Hill got elbowed in the face. A couple of others.
Yeah. But
let's talk about, you want to talk about four incidents, talk about four incidents.
Yeah.
Kulusevski especially, a player I very much appreciate, would much rather fight for a loose ball in a 50-50 at a wide angle than simply go over and win a penalty.
It was one of those early in the season, wasn't there? Kulusevski was through on the right, and it was just like, if he goes down here, and he just doesn't. He doesn't. We're not that kind. I think it was Squawker that released that said something like, we'd had 1,200 touches or something in the box, and it was like, went everywhere because it was there. And I was like, actually, if we just got one more, like one, and it goes,
yeah. Suddenly, wild swing. What would really benefit us would be a 1v1 specialist who could take on their man and in doing so draw fouls. There's a huge correlation between players who put up dribbles and players who win fouls. And look, we win a lot of fouls collectively outside the box, but suddenly we arrive in the penalty area and we forget how to fall over. Skill issue.
It's a really good point about the nature of the player. If you think about the way Johnson and Werner are receiving the ball, they're often making runs off their markers, off the shoulder of their markers. So they're getting into the box unchallenged. There's daylight between them and the defender. So there's not even an opportunity to try and sell a foul because they're so far away. Whereas, yes, Kulusevski or an alternative dribbly winger is going physically past the player and so can tempt a foot out or whatever.
And we don't cross a huge amount, certainly not in the air enough to get a lot of the old handball sticking your arm out either.
Yeah, lots of low cutbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it. Right, boys, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise.
Brennan, if I'm going to punt, that's my one. And don't captain Son. Okay, I've got to move.
Zero Spurs. Go zero Spurs.
I'm not going zero Spurs. That's not happening. So, Extra Inch, as I said, people join the Patreon, but if not, just listen for a bit and see how you feel with it. Pods come out Tuesday morning, sometimes Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night, often quite late. Nathan keeps unusual hours. And then, certainly for your commute to work on a Tuesday morning, it should be sat there.
Perfect. Yeah, get on it. Thanks so much, guys. Speak Cheers. To you soon.
Social Podcast Network.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.